Might as well just dive right in since the water's so
check,
deep.
Check, 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 check.
My feet are soaked.
Yeah, you are. Very clingy.
There's well, I'm not clingy because that was the most disgusting water ever. So I'm going to have to go wash my feet after
your
this.
Your shirt is clingy.
Oh, clingy. Yeah. Well, I'm soaking wet outside. I love when you like walk through somewhere and you have water. You're like, raining outside? You're like, no, dickhead. I just can't. I literally didn't dry off after the shower. And then I put the shirt on.
It's a sickness. People can't help themselves.
Yeah, it's fucking disgusting. Man, we haven't done first of all, we haven't done one of these in 2 weeks.
I know.
And last week was a busy week, but we're back. We have tons to talk about.
Yeah.
So much Guardies to talk about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Cavs to talk about.
Yeah.
It's white face masks, dude. There's all kinds of fun stuff going on.
I mean, we were both in the same state. We were on a flight together.
We did have a flight home together the other day. I got on, and someone's like, Will. And I'm like, I had my AirPods in. I'm like, couldn't be me. Uh-huh. Will, and I had a little tug on my shirt, and it was Sarah's mom.
It was my mom.
Or your mom, excuse me. Yeah. Your mom, and she's like a little tug on my shirt. And I looked down, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on right now? She's like, Brian and Sarah back there. Like, and you were very sunburned. How are you feeling?
The sunburn really never hurt. It's weird. It's super red and a very deep contrast to the rest of me. So like when I lift my sleeve up, it's hilarious. I am so pasty and then bright red. So
Dwayne Duke sent me a message. Did you notice in the picture that I posted, did you notice that it looks like you just slapped this man in the back of the head?
No, that's awesome, though.
I didn't notice. Dwayne said
I'm like very indifferent about it.
It's like, fuck this guy.
Slapped him and I don't care.
So we were all both in North Carolina. You got a really cool hoodie on. What's that there?
I do. This is a Beehawk. It is my sister is an investor in a distillery down in Southern Pines, which is outside of Fayetteville. It's where a lot of like officers that work at Fort Bragg live.
Okay.
Very nice little area, and they just built this distillery, and they have several different products, including, like, I'm not a rye whiskey guy, but easily the best rye whiskey I've ever had.
Good ryes are amazing.
Holy shit.
So many people just have mid-ryes, and it's just like...
Oh, dude. It definitely, yeah. That's the exact feeling I get after drinking most ryes. This one, delicious.
Yeah.
So I was drinking a decent amount of that. There's also two different kinds of bourbon. There's the Beehawk, I think Valor or something like that, and then Madam Colonel. And then there's a Madam Colonel pistachio liqueur, which is like the most delicious thing I've ever drank. Immediately, I looked at my family. I'm like, take my feet because I'm not going to stop drinking this. And then they're all like, no, you're going to stop drinking that. So
can I have?
So I had one.
Can I have a 1 liter cup of that, please?
It's so good.
So what do you make with a pistachio liqueur, I wonder?
I just drank it.
Just straight?
Yeah, we did like a tour of the distillery.
Yeah.
And they took us on a tour telling us about the guy. You know how those tours go when it's like one main person where it's like they're kind of almost treating him like a dictator.
Yeah.
Like they're talking about his vision and all this stuff and great leader and shit like that. Like he is deserving of it. The guy was in Black Hawk Down. He was part of like the actual mission and lost a leg in it.
Oh, shit.
He was a special forces guy. Like, he is a fucking badass. And then his wife is a JAG officer, was a retired JAG officer, like my sister was and kind of still is in the reserves. That's how she met her and got mixed up in being an investor in her lucrative business deal.
Interesting. All right. Uh-huh. And it's called Beehawk.
Beehawk.
Yeah, that's cool. The hoodie's tough.
Yeah. I like the hoodie a lot. We dropped a good amount of money in that gift shop.
And you said they do food there, too?
The food was banging.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I got a burger with no bun. It came with some goat cheese and bacon and caramelized onions.
Oh, so they're doing it right down there.
Oh,
I'll tell you what, the food, because I was down there in North Carolina, too, slept on, dude. Everything from, even when I go get tacos, the tacos were fantastic, because there's just enough Latin people down there to make the tacos legit.
Yeah.
Barbecue was legit. Like the fried chicken I had that was legit. I mean, everything I ate down there was fantastic.
Best gluten-free pizza I've ever had. I don't know how they use witchcraft to make it like the fluffy crust that you usually see. That's usually out the window with gluten-free pizza. Yeah.
Oh, I know what they did. Was just amazing. Had gluten. just told you it was gluten-free.
Yeah, she made a jerk-off motion when I walked away.
Like, sure, buddy.
It was so fucking good.
Was that at the same place?
No, this is a different place in Raleigh. We went to, you know, Southern Pines is kind of, it's not right by Raleigh. It's a solid drive. But, like, we went to Raleigh a couple times. And Fayetteville. We went to a Fayetteville Woodpeckers game. They're a low A team. We enjoyed that. Ate a big ass helmet full of nachos. That was good.
Hell yeah. The helmet makes them taste better.
Yeah, it was a full size helmet. It was awesome. And then we went and saw Tom Segura.
Oh, that's right. I forgot you were going down there to see
him. We did. We saw Tom Segura at the PNC whatever, which is where the NC State basketball team and the Carolina Hurricanes, my favorite hockey team, plays.
That's right. You got them in the draft.
Yep.
I forgot about that.
So I'm a Canes fan.
How was Tom?
Tom was good. You know, I've seen all of his specials. It is not his best hour, but it's still hilarious.
Yeah.
It's very, very funny. We had, you know, good seats and it was a good time. The ride home, though, was one of the funnier fucking Uber experiences I've ever had. So my sister orders the Uber and gets it right away, which, like, everybody else, I'm sure, waited for a long time. Traffic was bananas. There was a lot of people trying to get Ubers. And we get this fucking Uber, and my sister thought she got an Uber XL. She did not. And there were five of us. So we cram into this guy's Hyundai Elantra or whatever it is. And his name is Aziz, and he's sitting there. And then five of us show up. He goes, oh, there's five of you. And we go, yes, there are. And I'm like, okay, it's probably best for me to get in front. I take up the most space. My brother-in-law, Eric, is a bigger guy, but I still got him by like 50 pounds. I'm like, this is probably best for making sure everybody can fit.
Someone's going to have to lap it in the back probably.
So yes, my sister was kind of lapping it in the back, but we all cram in and the guy's like, he's like, no, we can't do this. We just can't. And everybody's like, it's fine.
Shut up, pussy.
You can do it. We promise. We'll give you a good tip. We'll give you. He goes, no, like, it's not a money thing. It's like a safety thing. And we're all like, we don't care. We're pointing at my sister. Going, she's a lawyer. We'll be fine. And he's like starting to like kind of cave. And then Sarah is like, you know, a little bit drunk. She's finally able to drink again. She starts getting out of the car. Go, me and Brian will just get an Uber home. And I like open the door. She's getting out. And it's like, she's getting out of the back behind me. I'm getting out of the front. I lean out and I go, get back in the fucking car. He's about to cave and we will wait for 2 hours for a fucking Uber. I am not doing that. Get back in the goddamn car. I'm like very sternly giving her a talk. And like she gets back in. We get the guy to cave and we're in the car and he's like a horrible driver. Maybe he was actually trying to warn us about how unsafe it is because of how bad of a driver he is. Repeatedly drifting over into other lanes. And like he starts going in one direction and he sees that there's a bunch of traffic. And then he's fucking gunning it into other lanes. His wheels are spinning on gravel. Like it was intense. And we're all like just like, so
we're the unsafe ones.
Awkward.
Here,
yeah. We're sitting there so awkwardly. And then my brother-in-law just starts singing an Elvis song out of nowhere. We were all fucking dying. It was hilarious.
How long was the ride?
It was like maybe close to a half hour.
Oh, 25 shit.
25 minutes. Yeah, oh, yeah. Okay. It was awkward and very unsafe, and we did tip him well, but we made it happen. Sarah has no composure in situations like this.
Yeah, she just gives up.
We also flew dirty for the first time,
okay,
which I know everybody does.
Yep.
Everybody does. Yes. We finally decided we're going to do it, and it was a check bag, too. So shouldn't be any sort of problem.
No, there's no problem with that, but I literally put it in my carry-on. I don't ever check anything. I just take it right through the security.
So there's things to eat, and then there's things to vape.
Yeah.
And we are giving our bag at fucking Frontier to leave, and Sarah sees a sign that says, like, no this, this, this.
No lithium
and then,
batteries?
No lithium batteries, no vapes, written in, like, marker on it. Like, clearly, they don't take this very seriously.
Yeah.
Sarah stops right there, points at the sign, and goes, did you see this? Did you know this? I'm like, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. And like, the person who works there at Fort Frontier goes, do you have any of those things in your bag? I'm like, no, we don't. I threw it away beforehand. She just didn't realize that. And like, you dumb bitch, what are you doing?
especially for somebody who travels so much. She travels all the fucking time.
Yeah. But no, she's about to give us up to the employee of the airline. Why would you do that right in front of
her? That's literally the only way you could probably get busted.
She already put the bag down the conveyor, but you want them to go and fucking hunt down our bag?
We don't even know what happens back. Once it goes through the little dangly things, you don't know what happens back there.
But no, she's throwing up red flags. She's just snitching on herself.
By the way, Ponton Podcast. Ponton Podcast. Kenny. We are at West Bank Golf Club. And there might be a tornado outside at some point. Who knows? We're in here together, though. Yeah, no matter what happens.
We decided the people need Pound Town.
The people need it.
We risked our own safety, our life and limb.
I didn't even look at the weather. I had no idea any of this was going on.
I did, and I still came. I
had no clue. I was in North Carolina, too. I noticed something funny when I was down there. I noticed, you know when you get a rental car and you connect your phone to it and it says like, you know, you have to add your phone and it says like Brian's iPhone, Will's iPhone. I've noticed a pattern in these cars now because now I'm running a lot of cars. I'm like every other week. And my company rents them, first of all, and I use all my own numbers. So I'm just racking up points everywhere. Uh-huh. This is fucking awesome. But every time I get in, it's like Brian's iPhone, Sarah's iPhone, Steve's iPhone, Sanjeev's Samsung S3, Larry's iPhone. Every time there's like some crazy foreign name, and it's always the only Android on the list. And I'm like, that's the first one I delete. I'm like, get rid of that. Thank you very much.
Keep it clean.
I also, before we get to the sports, got thrown off a donkey yesterday.
I saw that, and you fucking described it as if you were in such danger. I saw the video. No donkeys kicking around your head.
Dude, hold on, did you see the side video?
Yeah, like I did.
All right, so this is, the donkeys are, the donkey walked right up. There's donkey hooves stomping around my face. So I'm laying on the ground. First of all, let's rewind. My buddy Jacob runs all the promotions at the Lake County Captains, and they are now owned by the same owners as the Portland Pickles, which do all the crazy viral shit. They are trying to do that in Lake County, so go out there and check out the promotions. They're awesome.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
I did the Bottlegate thing. We broadcasted from the arcade last year. Uh-huh. Since then, they've added a Christmas suite.
Oh.
It is Christmas every day. It smells like Christmas.
Ooh.
The train going around the top. There's all kinds of cool little, I'm not going to give them away, but there's little like Easter egg type things you could find.
Okay.
And if you rent that suite, they will wrap up Captain's merch under the tree, so when you get to come, you come in, you get to open presents.
What?
I mean, such a cool idea.
That's genius.
It is really cool. And then now they've added a 70s bowling suite. It's basically Big Lebowski.
Okay.
It's got bowling machines, all that shit in it. And now they have a pirate bar, and it is fucking sick. It is so sick. Well, anyway, he hits me up, I mean months ago, and goes, two words, donkey race. And I'm like, dude, and he's like, come on. You got to do it. I'm like, he goes, I don't even know if I can get this approved. They probably won't let us clear it through insurance. I definitely don't think the Guardians want us to do it. And I was like, he's like, just let me put your name on it so I can try to get other people to do it. Because it's like shitty D-list celebrities, like local celebs, right? And I'm like, fine, it's my boy. So I'm like, yeah, dude, whatever you need. I got you. He took care of us last year. Gotcha. Totally forgot about it. Like about a week ago, I start getting notifications on Twitter and there's like odds of my donkey. And it's like me, Rick Gonya, Nicole Marcelino, the Cavs Nicole. Uh-huh. She works with the Cavs. She works with Channel 8.
It's Marcelino.
Okay. Did not, by the way, who I've known 4 years, delightful human being. Introduced her to my mom and stepdad last night. She couldn't have been nicer. We talked for like 30 minutes. But I did not know where she worked because I don't watch local news.
I don't either.
And I was like, oh, you're at Fox 8 now. How long have you been there? She's like 2.5 years. And I'm like, if it makes you feel any better, Austin Love's one of my good buddies. And I, until he retired from TV, had no idea where he worked.
You should have said, tell me where I work.
Yeah. Nobody knows where I work.
Tell me where I work.
Nobody understands what I do. A girl literally said the other day, she goes, what am I looking at? And why is your life so confusing on my story? anyway. So I'm like, all right, let's do it. So it's me, Rick Gonya. Who else was there? Nick Padone, Reflog, some like IndyCar racer guy, an actor, and who's the dude who does the show with Mike Polk? John Skirtick? I don't know how to say his last name. The dude takes the pictures of everybody around town. He works for the library. He does a show.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's how I would pronounce the name.
John Skirtick. Super nice guy, by the way. So anyway, no one really explained what we're doing. They're just like, you're going to be racing donkeys. I'm assuming they're going to go very slow and they're going to have saddles on their back because there's no way on a minor league baseball field where there's like prospects playing, they're going to tear the grass up and they're going to put any of us at risk, right? You know,
bareback a burro.
Completely wrong on all of that. These things are wild fucking animals. They do not want to be ridden and they are, and all they want to do is eat grass and kick you off of them. Those are the two things they want to do in life. And so he's like explaining it to, he's like, as soon as the thing goes, you got to try to keep them in the right direction. You got to try to jump on. We're like, excuse me, you got to try to jump on. It's like, yeah, they don't really want you to be on them. Like, what the fuck is going on right now? So they didn't really give us a whole lot of lead up to it. We're just down on the field. And all of a sudden we hear the bell and they're like, go. every donkey turned around and started going the opposite way. And they're pack animals. So even the guys working for them couldn't stop them all. So like some of them are getting away and running all the way to the other side. I got mine turned around. At like the third try, I got on. But I couldn't sit up. I'm like, these are on the picture, like laying on the back of the donkey. And it, I'm like, I just told everybody it's for aerodynamics. But I'm going. I'm probably fourth or so. There's 10 of us. People, dude, Nick Padone got fucking tossed as we come around the corner. Yeah. And mine almost stepped on him. And so my donkey turned around, started going the opposite way. I got to get him to turn back around. Now my donkey starts to just take off.
How do you get him to turn around?
You just pull up the side of like the reins a little bit to the right. Okay. I've ridden horses before, so I kind of the vibe of it.
Okay.
They don't really want to listen that well, but you know, I'm just, and then you turn around, whatever. So we're going, and now he starts trotting a little bit. I'm like, all right, and now I'm in the lead. Dude, I have a 7 donkey length lead.
Wow.
So if you look at the video, there's 2 people that are up at the front with me, but they're walking their donkeys. You're automatically disqualified if you cross the finish line walking your donkey.
Can you walk it almost all the way and then get jump on real quick?
True, yes. But they go faster with them on their back because they want to try to run and get you off.
Okay.
So I'm like way ahead of everybody. Nicole Marcelino, who ended up winning, is way, way, way behind me. The race car driver is laying on the back from like a guy doing a Superman jump. Like off of, like, you know, and then for what, I don't know what happened. And I still would like to know. I want someone to review the footage. My donkey got spooked and he starts bucking. Uh-huh. And I held on for like $3. And then finally, I was leaning off to the side, and I tried to just like step off, and he bucked just right, and I mean, launched me, dude. I landed so hard on my back and bit my tongue. So there's just donkey hooves clattering around my face, my mouth's filling up with blood, and I want you to see my back. Hold on. I want you to see this. All now, right. It didn't hurt. I was worried it was going to get hurt like last time where I wasn't able to like walk. This is just like if you like bumped knees with somebody, yeah, and scraped.
Superficial.
And it hurts so bad. It hurts so bad. It looks like I got dragged on cement.
At least he didn't try to mount you.
No, he didn't. In fact, the fucking trainer
just
took.
Donkeys are sexual beings.
They just took off. He didn't even wait for me. He just, so I got up and the guy's like, where's your donkey? I'm like, dude, I don't fucking know. I was just laying on the ground.
I'm not responsible for
it. I'm like, what are they paying you for? He's like, you got to get the donkey. I'm like, you got to get the donkey. We're like arguing on the side. Mind you, this is in front of a crowd at a minor league baseball game.
Is your job not donkey wrangler?
And then I look across the field and where is my, I'm assuming this was my donkey. I look across the field. There's just a donkey standing on the first baseline, just eating grass by himself. Just nowhere near the rest of the donkeys. So that sucked, and that is my official retirement from humiliating quote-unquote local celeb bullshit. I'm done with that, dude.
Okay.
Done with it. Can't do it anymore. I didn't want to do the last charity bartending thing. I definitely didn't want to do this. I was dreading it all week. As somebody who watched, I'm sure it was fun. For me, that was fucking miserable, and I hated it.
And, man, I don't know if I could ever turn down a donkey race just for the story.
You would ride it. You would do it. They're doing it next year. You know what? I'm going to put your name in right now.
Toss my name in.
You'll do it.
Yes, I'd be worried about like falling on my shoulders.
Yeah, you like, should be. Yeah. You should be worried about it.
But I kind of want to do it. Yeah.
If you get the, like, so they also know which ones have what temperament. Uh-huh. So it's not fair. Like they saw Nicole Marcelino walk up and they're like, give her that one. It's just like a nice calm one. It just like walks.
Oh, they're going to give me the worst one.
Oh, that's so Riconia walked up talking shit, yelling on video. And they're like, get Harold or whatever.
Give him Hurricane.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, and this thing was fucking wild. It would not walk in the right direction. It was like pulling him all over the place. Riconia's arguing with him the whole time. It was very funny.
How what kind of weight can these things? I know they're pack mules. Like they're
huge. I don't know, but like
250's fine?
Yeah, dude.
All right.
I think, oh, you know what? I think on the thing it said 275 was the, okay, was the total. Because somebody said they were 250 and they were like, I wish I weighed 26 more pounds than I could do this. But yeah, that sucked. So that's my, I'm in a lot of pain today. I did get to the gym though, at least. I was worried I wasn't going to get to work out. I still was able to work. I couldn't run. I tried to run and it felt like my back was going to fall apart. So I just walked today.
Donkey injury.
It's so fucking stupid. My buddy today was like, I spent 5 minutes this morning crying, laughing, thinking about you in a wheelchair, like Christopher Reeves from a donkey.
From racing. A donkey incident.
From a donkey incident of minor league baseball game. All right, let's we gotta start with Guardies, right?
Yes.
We have to. Oh, by the way,
been dying to talk about this.
You're listening to this right now. Tonight, come to Westall's. You can walk in and buy tickets. There's a couple tickets left. Crazy good show. Jason Lawhead's closing it. He's toured with Bill Burr. Very, very funny guy. He tours all over the country. Brian's on the show. I'm on that show. Samantha Archwell is not. She can't. No? She can't make it there now. Pope and Tony Bowers.
Yeah.
Who's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, Tony's funny.
Tony's very, very funny. Very good show. Come on out. It's like 20-some bucks. You get food, and it's a great comedy show. So come to Westwell's
Red Lobster's considering filing for bankruptcy, report says.
They just did this a couple years ago. Remember Mike Polk wrote a whole thing? He wrote a farewell to the Cheesy Biscuits last time they did it.
See, like, I'd imagine somebody's going to buy the rights to Cheddar Bay Biscuits. They may just be like a mixed thing you buy at grocery stores
moving
forward.
You can buy those. Yeah.
I know, but that's what Red Lobster might become permanently. Yeah. But the biscuits will never fully be gone.
Was it Shrimp Fest?
I don't give a fuck about no Shrimp Fest.
Shrimp Fest, that garlic, if it just comes in a bowl of butter and garlic, is the most delicious thing ever. You poop for 3 straight days afterwards, but
nice.
It's fantastic. All right, let's talk Guardies.
Yes.
Get your rocks off, buddy. They have the best record in baseball.
Yes, they do.
They have, Stephen Kwan is what, the fourth highest batting average in baseball, I believe?
Yes, I think second in hits.
Yeah, second in hits, fourth highest batting average. Top to bottom.
Josh Naylor's top 10 too.
Yeah, Josh Naylor's top 10. Guys like Gabriel Arias are hitting the ball. The pitching, pitching hasn't been dominant either.
Starting
pitching, yes. The bullpen has been really good. But I don't know, man. I think I said in that group text last night with you guys, I was like, they're back to being that annoying team from 22. It's kind of fun.
Oh my God. It's so much fun. I mean, start with the starting rotation. If you thought that the Guardians would be at this point, you know, I know it's not deep into the season, and I know we're making a lot out of not that many games. I don't fucking care. This is a lot of fun. But you'd never guess that we'd be where we are right now, but also that starting pitching would be horrendous. Like, Tristan McKenzie is a legitimate area of concern right now.
Yes. If it wasn't for Bobby's last start, he'd be in that same realm.
And even that start, dude, we need for you to go deeper into games.
Yeah.
The bullpen, for as good as they've been taxed.
Yeah. They just bought somebody from the A's today, didn't they?
Who did they buy? It wasn't the A's, was it?
They gave
cash considerations to, it was Padres.
Oh, Padres. Okay.
But that's just going to be depth right now with the bullpen. Like when Sam Hentges comes back, you're going to send somebody down. Who do you send down?
I don't know. I really don't know. Cause they're all pitching so well.
Yeah. For whatever reason, there's two guys that the internet does not like. It's Eli Morgan and Nick Sandlin. I'm not a big Eli Morgan fan, but he has pitched well this year, particularly as of late. Nick Sandlin, other than like one home run he gave up, has been lights out.
He's been really good.
He's got a low 2 ERA right now, and he's got the highest, Shane Bieber would be number one, but now he's got the highest active K for 9 innings rate at 14. Like he's killing it.
Yeah.
He's added a splitter to his repertoire, and it's going really well.
I would probably lean towards Eli Morgan just on history of Eli Morgan.
Yeah.
That's who I would send down, which probably isn't fair because how well he is pitching. Because he's pitching really well.
I just fucking hate how he looks. I don't like looking at him.
I don't like looking at him either.
I don't like that greasy hair and that dumb face.
You know what I found out, or what I just found out the other day? It was at opening day. Baskin and Phelps was doing very riveting radio. Jeff Phelps was doing Guardians trivia or some shit. But Eli Morgan's dad is some big like media mogul.
Really?
And he worked at where was he at? He was at AOL when they were still doing a bunch of sports. He worked I think he's at Bally Sports now. So Bally Sports sucks balls. Eli Morgan's also sucks balls, and so does his dad. So
Eli Morgan looks like some kid they found pitching on like an Amish farm.
Like Kingpin?
I don't know.
We play 12 innings down here, sir.
He's got like a Mennonite look to him. I don't like it.
Yeah, this isn't usually how you operate. You don't usually... I'm the one who just doesn't like people based directly on how they look.
He's also not that great. Like, he's been good. But, I'd say he'd be my first choice to send down. I like Tim Herron and having two lefties in the bullpen.
Yeah.
I don't like it just being one with Sam Hentges.
Who's been very good. Or no, I'm not... Not Sam Hentges.
Tim Herron?
Tim Herron, yes.
Tim Herron's been good? Yeah. He has been very good to have. And, you know, the whole lefty reliever thing is so different now that they've got the three batter rule.
Yeah.
You still want to have some, but, you know, it's not like you have one guy you can just bring in quickly in situations. Like, I don't know. I love this bullpen. I have a giant bullpen boner right now. Hunter Gaddis is an unstoppable monster.
He's so good.
Right? And I am so looking forward to seeing him ascend into that setup man role and just being our Andrew Miller.
I mean, he has the stuff when he's on.
He's hitting fucking 99 on the radar gun now.
Yeah, he's a wild man. He's got the look. He's a big monster. I want to see more. I want to see more, but I would love for that to be the case.
He's always had good stuff.
Yes.
He's always had good stuff. It's just he would fuck up and he would get shelled. So as a starting pitcher, this isn't going to work out, but as a relief pitcher, he has been great. Cade Smith finally gave up a home run and looked human, but he's been fantastic.
Hunter Gaddis is only 26 years old, by the way.
Yep.
I knew he was young.
Yeah. Him and Cade Smith are both rookies, and it is exciting. Like, Class A, he's looked better than last year.
For sure.
And he is hitting 101 on the radar, which you love to see, but, like, how is he still throwing the most hittable 101-mile-per-hour pitch in baseball?
I don't know.
I don't get it.
Yeah, and was it just that first year that people just hadn't seen a lot of them? So it doesn't make sense. The cutter, I will say the cutter has not been the location on that last year. It's better this year. Last year and this year is nowhere near it was that first year.
Yeah.
That first year, I mean, he was painting corners with that thing, which makes it unhittable. That creeps out over the plate at times now.
Yeah.
And, and then when he throws the fastball, it's just a little flat, I guess, even for that speed, which is crazy to say, but it's...
I know.
But it is what it is, you know?
Yeah, the guys that have the weapon pitches, they just don't look as potent this year. Like, I mean, nothing looks potent from McKenzie.
Yeah.
That sucks. And then Bybee, it seems like he gets ahead in the count and then just throws it away. He's not punching guys out. Like, just the other day, you know, solid outing, whatever. Still only 3 strikeouts. He did have the one outing earlier in the year. I think it was the Seattle outing. I could be wrong. But he threw like 9 strikeouts, but still, like, he's not going, he's very rarely hitting 5 innings even.
Yeah.
And that's just not good.
Yeah. And he's relying more on that curveball, it feels like, too, which was like just an out pitch before. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's almost like he doesn't have quite the control he has on the other stuff. So you just got to keep leaning on that
thing.
A lot
of first pitch curveballs I was noticing. It was weird.
That's what I'm saying. Though. You didn't see that from before, which tells me that he's not trusting the other pitches as much.
Yeah.
Right? There's no way you just decide, no, I'm using that as my. That's my main pitch. Now I'm setting that up. You're using it to set up everything else. That wouldn't be how you'd operate with his stuff. So
I know you don't want guys to rear back and just throw with all they got, especially when they hit the majors, because command becomes that much more important. But there was a point in the minors where he was touching 99.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, if we can get you to be like a guy that sits at 96, 97, and you can command that, you are dangerous, dude.
Yeah, I know you were super high on him coming to the year, and I agreed with you.
Yeah.
I just, I'm still not that worried about the starting pitching.
No, he's the least of the concerns in the starting pitching.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. We'll see. They're just gritty. They're gritty. But, like, Vogt's got them playing for
him. Yes, that's the negativity out of the way.
Yeah.
With some bullpen boner mixed in. The lineup, man. Gabriel Arias, he has been, over the past week and a half, just amazing.
Yeah, he's been really, really good. He's in center tonight.
I love getting him outfield reps.
Me too. I like getting him outfield
reps. Specifically right field.
Yeah.
Ramon Laureano he's just not it, man.
No.
He has some really nice defensive stops.
He's just a guy, right? He's just a guy you put out there because you need a guy at the position. But if you can get, if you can get him in the outfield and get him serviceable, you can get him way more at bats. And it's looking like his bat is what they thought it could be heading up through the minor leagues. If that's the case, you got to get him at bats.
And his arm is crazy.
Yeah, like, it really is.
Rocchio has much better range at shortstop. His arm's not as good as Arias is though. But like, if Arias can, I mean, I know you don't want to just keep rotating the guy around, but if he can just step into right field, I guess now some center field, some third base, some first base, some shortstop. Keep him in the lineup as much as he can. Give guys rest when they need it. DH him if you need to. But, like, I like what Vogt's doing a lot with the way he's mixed up the lineups, and it's been fun.
Yeah, it really is. It's been a lot of fun. Are you going to any games this weekend?
This weekend, I mean, can either of us go to games?
What do we have? Oh, I can't do the Saturday show.
You can't do Saturday?
No, my company put the kibosh on that.
Did they?
Yeah, because we're officially signing the paperwork to get my bump up.
Uh-huh.
And so we had a little talk about what I'm doing. And I was like, I just want to make sure this is in the contract that I'm able to do all this stuff. And I probably stupidly brought it up, but it's going to be filmed for posterity. So
you're Sarah at TSA or at Frontier.
But it's a little different in the fact that they could, you know, TSA isn't going to re-examine that video in a couple weeks when it hits my social media. And they're like, please don't do that. They didn't say I couldn't, but they're saying, please don't do that. This is totally amateur sports. So I have my son this weekend. He's probably going to do a sleepover that night anyway, but I'll probably just stay back this way now. So I'm going to puss out on it, unfortunately. But if that's the case, that'll be the night I'll probably go to a game with him.
All right.
I'm just going to do Saturday maybe. Because Cavs play Saturday afternoon. My son will be playing a game that afternoon as well. I don't even look at the weather. It's supposed to rain.
I don't know. I don't look either.
I never look at weather.
No. Sarah does. She takes care of that for me.
She gives you an update every morning?
Yeah, she does.
That's kind of awesome.
Yeah, it's nice.
I'm trying to think of like what causes me to ever pull out the weather app. If it looks crappy outside, maybe?
Seeing when I should mow my lawn is really the main thing. I did get my first lawn mow in yesterday. I only did the front yard, but it was a jungle. It wasn't great.
We haven't even talked since the opener of the eclipse. You look like you had some fun with the eclipse. I saw you out there looking at it, raw dog.
I mean, I had to look.
You looked at it, raw dog.
I raw dogged it when it was in full eclipse.
Same. I did the same. I was like, I can't see with the glasses anymore. Yeah. I want to see it.
Oh, like, this is completely unimpressive with these glasses on. This is stupid.
Yeah.
You can't see anything.
It made sense for them before it got to there because it was the only way you could really see it. Then when it got there, I'm like, oh, and you know what? My eyesight's fine.
Yeah,
nothing has happened whatsoever.
I was sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, you know, you don't hear about a giant amount of like this big epidemic of eye injuries and blindness after every eclipse.
You know what it is? Liberal media. Yep.
MSM.
They didn't want you to have the orbital ecstasy.
No.
That we both got from staring at it.
It's too powerful.
Yeah. I don't know. I looked up at that thing and I was like, I do feel stronger than all the other humans now with those stupid glasses on.
I looked at it and went, oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah, it's pretty cool. And,
the second it got past full, because we're on the rooftop of the intro building, I was like, all right, let's go across the bridge and drink over at the game.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I just went back to work.
You know what was actually a little more like interesting of that whole thing besides the visual of it? How cold it got. It dropped pretty drastically temperature-wise. That was interesting. I mean, it like felt weird outside. You know what I mean?
But like, you can still see like almost like a sunset like in the horizon in all directions.
Yeah. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, it was.
Cooler than I thought it was going to be, for sure.
Yeah. Some guy was driving and just like, as soon as it happened, just stopped in the street in his car. Just sat there in his car looking at it for the entirety of it. It was just like a car sharing the moment with us.
That's like a Netflix movie, like Bird Box or one of those. That's like what happens in those movies. you got anything else on the Guardies?
Let's see. I still love Rocchio, not hitting as well, but still love him. I like Freeman.
Love what I've seen from Freeman so far.
I mean, that homer over the Green Monster was fantastic.
Yep. I just want you to be, don't ever be a guy where we're like, he's not quite like, just be a guy like he's having a pretty good year. That's all I need out of him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's having a pretty good year.
Floreal though.
Yeah, he's
Floreal, some power.
Yeah.
Love seeing that.
Love
especially
that.
Especially versus his former team. And it just seems like the team is having a lot of fun. Last year, I said in our group chat, it was like if they blew any sort of lead, or even if it was a tight game and they were coming from behind, they very rarely had that 2022 magic where they were in it, man.
Felt like they rolled over a lot last year.
Yeah, it seemed like the momentum was dead in the water to begin with last year so much. This year, that's not the case, and that's awesome. And anybody who can't stand the Guardians because of name changes or because they are just emotionally, yes, they are emotionally bracing themselves because they can't enjoy players while they're here because they're just assuming they're going to leave to go be Yankees, which, by the way, who's the last player that's gone to be a Yankee since fucking CC Sabathia?
From here?
Yeah. Who's the last guy who ascended to stardom here and then went to be a Yankee? That's what everybody fucking says. Yeah, they're just a farm team for the Yankees. No, they're fucking not.
That's an old trope, and it's not even realistic anymore.
No, it's stupid. And, I mean, again, what guys did you want them to keep? Well, who are you not happy with the return that they got? They kept Jose Ramirez. I wish they'd spend a little bit of money here and there, but right now you're seeing a lot of what the plan was.
Yeah, you can. The one place you can nitpick, but I can see both sides of the argument, was with Shane Bieber. And essentially what they're saying, and who knows, maybe they're just trying to soften the blow of it, is, look, everybody knew this was probably going to happen or very well could happen. So the trade value in return wasn't there for us anyway. So it was better off for us to roll the dice. If that's true, fine. Okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, who knows if that's actually true or not, but I guess I'll take them at face value on that.
But I just feel bad for anybody who's not enjoying this team right now.
They're a lot of fun.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. Speaking of rolling over, what the Cavaliers did on the last night of the season pissed a lot of people off.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you know by now, but it was the last game of the season. They went into it not knowing where they could land anywhere from second to fourth. They knew they had home court locked up. They were jockeying not for the highest seed they could get, but for the best matchup in their mind to win round one. And they basically had a tank off in the fourth quarter with the Charlotte Hornets, who were also trying to tank because they had a reason to try to lose that game because it locked up the third best odds for the number one pick. Uh-huh. And they just couldn't, they couldn't be worse than the Cavs were in the fourth quarter. The Cavs had Amani Bates and four centers out there. I think they scored 2 points in the last 8 minutes. It pissed a lot of people off. There's some net, like Tim Von Temps on the Brian Windhorst podcast went on like an 8 minute rant about what a disgrace it is to the NBA. And I have two thoughts on it. One is, it is a, now knowing what Max Strus said afterwards and what Donovan Mitchell said afterwards, Max Strus said was kind of pissed off and said, "Hey, I want to win these games. I'm pissed off we didn't win." And then Donovan Mitchell going, "Look, we're only judged on conference finals and championships. Like that is the bar. So anything else, like just one round, isn't good enough anyway." Knowing that now, it is a pretty shitty message to send your team to go, "Hey guys, we're just hoping to beat one team.
We just want to win one.
We just want to win one because we're all going to be embarrassed if we don't." So that's a pretty shitty message to send. On the other side of that, the realistic side of that, it was smart of them to avoid Philadelphia because their asses would have been ran out in the first round. Embiid looks back to MVP. I mean, I know he didn't play full minutes the last time he played, but the two other games we played full minutes, he looked like the guy before he got injured. I just don't see – and Philadelphia smacked him around without Embiid a bunch this season. So, like, yeah, from a strategy standpoint, I get it, right? Orlando has no experience in the playoffs. They can't score. Yes, they're a big, physical, tough team, but, like, dude, they're not the Knicks of last year. The Knicks of last year is a whole different ballgame. Jalen Brunson was unguardable for the Cavs. It's a completely different thing, and the Cavs should win this game, this series in five or six games. If they don't, there's massive changes on the horizon. But what is that saying? Because do you think they have any shot against Boston? Boston's historically good. Historically good.
Yeah.
I don't think they have any shot against them.
No, especially with how this season has gone.
The last 20 games have been dog shit heading into the playoffs.
Like there's no momentum heading into the playoffs.
It's sad, too, because they were such a feel-good. They were like, for a while, so last year the Guardians obviously fell on their face. Uh-huh. The Cavaliers were this like lovable story last season. Yes. Like, look at us. Look at the core we have. Look at how this is going to be. We're going to be able to keep Donovan. And then they just pissed down their leg against the Knicks. So this year they came into the season and nobody really wanted to be that bought in, and then they get all those injuries and they go on that tear. Well, there was, I think it was 21-2 or something like that, some along those lines. Uh-huh. Everybody's like, "Hell yeah, we got the Magic back." Blah blah blah. This could not be further from that. The vibes are at an all time low. I think it's like $30 tickets to get in the building on Saturday.
Jesus,
that's insane, insane. $30 tickets for playoffs. NBA playoffs are a lot of fun too, just to be there. I don't know, man. Like, I'm not expecting them to make a deep run in the playoffs. It'd be awesome if they did. It'd be very welcomed. Obviously, if they beat Orlando and then somehow knocked off Boston, oh my God, this town would be electric, right?
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's expecting that. And I know that, like, JB and Kobe Altman, I think, were like, "Hey, we got to shoot for that spot because that's probably what's going to save our jobs and hopefully keep Donovan Mitchell here." I don't know if a one win over the Orlando Magic does any of those things. Like, I think Kobe Altman, JB Bickerstaff are still on the chopping block. And I don't think that sells Donovan Mitchell on staying here.
I don't think Altman should be, but with the way Dan Gilbert has treated GMs in the past, I could see it.
I mean, I think that Kobe Altman, the only reason I say Kobe Altman should be, there's a lot of people who think he very well should be, but the only reason I think that should be on the table is if they whimper out of the playoffs again in the second round and they lose in four or five games to Boston, and you are that outclassed this is year three into this now. It's 2 years with Mitchell. So year two of Mitchell, but year three of that core. As a GM, you're probably supposed to see some of that stuff coming over the horizon and be like, "Hey, we got assets. We're doubled up at small guard. We're doubled up at big. Two things you don't want to be doubled up at." And he didn't make any moves to make them significantly better, even though those guys were on the roster.
Were there moves to be made, do you think? I mean, what would you have done?
I mean, I just know there was a huge market for Jared Allen. I don't think I would have traded him this year because he's quite honestly, he's been the most consistent player for the Cavs all season. Yeah. It would have probably been the offseason I would have made a move, and that might have been Jared Allen. Maybe it was Darius Garland. Maybe there was something else out there. I don't know, but you know, it's your job as a GM to put the team together to get you further, and I'm just not sure these incremental lurches, because even if they win one round, right, and they get swept out by Boston. If they came back exactly as constituted next year, would you consider them an Eastern Conference contender?
No.
Not me either. Especially with how the huge step back that Darius Garland took this year.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go try to trade him now, you're selling low, brother. Low. Or you can just trade Jared Allen, you're selling high. But once again, he was the most consistent fucking guy on the team all year. He was on the court. He's playing hard. He's battling. He looks tougher. Go in there and kick Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner's ass in this series. Like, you know what I mean? Like, let's at least wipe some of that shit.
Are you sure you wouldn't trade Evan Mobley?
Me or the Cavs?
You.
I'd listen. Now, I wouldn't want... You'd have to really knock my socks off for me to trade Evan Mobley. I think he's so young, dude. He's like 21.
I know.
Right? So, I would... If they... Even if they won the first round, they struggle in the first round and they get wiped right out by Boston. I think you really got to look long and hard at, you know, maybe it's not the guy, but I know for years I was like, a Brandon Ingram type on this team would be awesome.
Yeah.
The Pelicans really wanted Jared Allen. Brandon Ingram isn't a good fit for them. He's had a bad season, so maybe that's not it. You know, don't kill me for saying that. But that type of trade where you could sell high and actually get that wing, Brandon Ingram's a little long in the tooth, but someone like that might be the way to go.
Do we need to move the goalposts on Evan Mobley's ceiling at this point? I know he's still young.
I don't know, man. He's been really good the last like month and a half of the season. I think he's not offensively not where we'd hope he'd be this year, you know what I mean? But much better than he was at the beginning of the year. I think, you know, it's unfair, but I think these playoffs are going to dictate a lot about how we feel about these guys. Like, Evan Mobley needs to show the fuck up.
I think that's bunny fair.
You need to show the fuck up, dude.
This is their third playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, technically, yeah, because they had the play and they lost. Yeah,
playing game.
Yeah, and they lost to the Hawks, who are the playoff princesses, and they're in and there every year. We're the only team they actually beat and got out of there. Then you had the Knicks, who smacked them around. Mobley needs to show the fuck up these playoffs. It'd be really nice for Darius Garland to show up, but I don't even know if I'm counting on that at this point. So I don't know. Maybe we are moving the goalposts on Evan Mobley. Maybe we just got a little too carried away right out of the gate with him.
There was a lot of superstar talk.
Yeah. I mean, understandably, all the pieces are there for it. You just can't make a guy be that guy, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's so quiet and reserved. I mean, how many other, aside from like Tim Duncan, but there's a quiet intensity to Tim Duncan.
Yes. Serial killer-esque.
Yes. There does not seem to be intensity in Mobley. He just seems like a kid out there still.
From time to time, he will get very aggressive around the hoop and the paint. Uh-huh. And you're like, fuck, that's it, dude. That's it right there. Do that all the time. And then he just kind of will float outside the paint for a little bit. And, you know, I don't know. I don't envy the front office's position they're in because Dan Gilbert, from everything I've been told, is now fully back in the saddle. He's not like me getting bucked off donkeys. That motherfucker is back.
He's been using blood boys and getting himself back?
Dude, I don't know. But he is. Yeah, he's been taking infant blood and whatever the Illuminati people do.
He is like a... Like a top three richest owner in the NBA?
Yeah, oh yeah, he's very rich.
His money is dumb.
Dumb money. And he's got that weird beef with the owner of the Phoenix Suns, the Ishbo or whatever, the weird like mortgage beef. They keep getting caught on camera talking shit about each other.
I love that. All those fucking coked up boiler room mortgage motherfuckers.
But he's very much back in the fold. If you think Dan's just going to be like, oh yeah, incremental progress, next year we'll get him... You don't remember Dan Gilbert because that motherfucker will blow this thing up and move in a different direction.
If you've ever seen Billions, he's a less cool axe with more money.
Yeah, way more money. He's a fucking filthy rich bastard. So I don't know. By the way, way funnier thing with the Cavs. We didn't get to talk about this, and I just briefly mentioned it at one point. Did you go through Austin Carr's likes on
his Twitter account? Everybody did. It's great.
So if anybody out there didn't, I'm going to see. I wonder if he deleted these.
I'm sad that they're just likes and not comments. I'd love to see him under naked ladies going, ha ha, go off, young woman.
So let's see here. Oh, he did delete them.
Aww.
There were likes on just, so there was like one big old thick white girl.
Big
girl.
Yeah.
There was one OnlyFans black girl.
Uh-huh.
And then the other one was very creepy and weird too. I can't remember what that was though. I was hoping they would still be there. But he has since deleted those likes. They went very viral on Twitter. But good for Austin, dude. Why can't a guy just be horny?
Yeah.
I mean, this
Throw
is a guy.
His hammer down.
He responds to questions with Go Cavs.
I know.
Direct questions asking specifically about something happening with the Cavaliers just with Go Cavs. Let that man be horny.
Yeah. I wish he would be saying Go Cavs
as a comment to Naked Ladies.
That would be so funny.
He's so good.
If you're ever listening to the broadcast, I don't think he knows what's going on half the time anymore.
Oh, no. He never did.
It's worse now, though.
Yeah.
It used to be like pretty halfway decent analysis, and then he would just wouldn't stop talking into a break.
My dad has always hated Austin Carr. Really? He hated it as an announcer, not as a player, but he hated Austin Carr because he provided no insight whatsoever.
That's fair.
And he should be able to provide a lot of insight, but he's just the biggest homer. And so that's what my dad always calls my mom, because my mom is one of those people who thinks that on a national broadcast, the broadcasters hate us and love the other team. She thinks that every referee is out to get us. And he just goes, calm down, Austin.
That's funny.
Yeah.
How about another ridiculous black guy, part of what I thought was a historic thing in television history? And I don't think it got the fanfare it should. Curb Your Enthusiasm ended. Did you watch the finale?
I thought it was perfect.
Maybe one of the best finales of any TV show I've ever seen. It was so well wrapped up. Like, absolutely perfect.
The perfect Larry David ending. To call it, I never learned my lesson.
Yeah.
And for there to the entire series have references to the Seinfeld finale, people would be like, oh, you wrote for Seinfeld? That finale was terrible. And you'd be like, oh, yeah. And then he gets his own show. It's super popular. And he's like, I'm going to end it the same fucking way. Everybody sucked my dick. It was so great.
So good. And the callbacks to like earlier episodes and like some of the guest appearances.
But that was exactly what the Seinfeld finale was.
100%.
Exactly what it was.
Yeah. So good.
Everybody hated it.
And that last season was, I mean, they didn't lose anything on their fastball, dude. If anything, that was probably one of the better seasons. I haven't really gone through and ranked them. But there's like a middle ground, and when I went back and rewatched it, there was like a two or three seasons that were funny, but not like the funniest. Man, these last couple seasons were straight 99 on the black, dude.
I thought this past season was good, but not one of the best. I don't think that there was any drop-off season.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and like, I just remember like some of the middle ones. I was like, these are good. Not the greatest. Like, dude, the fucking lawn jockey episode was so fucking good this year. The setup of the entire season with the water bottle in Atlanta was just such a great running bit through the entire time.
I kind of knew he was going there with it to set it up for the trial and to bring in all of the same as Seinfeld. I was like, there's no way he's doing it, though. Like, I didn't, in my mind, I was like, oh, there's like parallels to the Seinfeld finale. And then as it got closer, I'm like, he's fucking doing it, isn't he? This son of a bitch. I love it.
He's going to do it.
I love it. I almost wish, and I like that they did it, but I almost wish that he didn't have Jerry come save him at the end. That he just ended it exactly like Seinfeld ended. I would just love that.
All right, so this is the question I wanted to ask you, and I gave you no forewarning on this by design.
Okay.
In the pantheon of all-time great comedy TV shows,
okay,
where does Curb Your Enthusiasm fall? Because I think it's drastically underrated because it lived on HBO and a lot of people didn't have HBO and like consistently watch those shows. So like, let's name off, like, not just like our individual opinions, because we probably have stuff that other people don't like, but that is a universally loved TV shows. You have Seinfeld, you have Curb Your Enthusiasm, I think is in there. The Office, Modern Family.
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Always Sunny, Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec is good. I love it personally. I don't know if everybody would consider that to be pantheon.
But I think that's probably in the same area of Curb, right?
I don't know if I would say that people think that. I think that people either don't know about Curb or absolutely love it.
That's true. I don't think anybody's ever watched Curb.
I think Modern Family. I think Parks and Rec. I think those are a tier below, but still amazing. I love both of those shows.
There's dumb people out there who like laugh track shows.
Friends and shit like that. A lot of people, I mean, it's up there.
A lot of people like Two and a Half Men. It wasn't my style, get it. That was very loved.
Big Bang Theory too.
People love Big Bang Theory.
South Park.
South Park is up there.
South Park, and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
If we're tiering them.
Should be that high.
Yeah. I think you got to put Office, South Park, Always Sunny. Is anything else in tier one?
Curb.
I agree. I think it's tier one for sure. Do you think in the general consensus of the population it's tier one?
Oh, man.
Probably tier two, right?
Probably.
It's unfortunate. I think that's the point I was trying to get to is it's very unfortunate. There's so many people there who haven't got to experience the magic of Larry David, not age at all for 20 straight years, just be old to old.
Yes.
And still be hilarious.
He's 78.
He's so old.
God, Richard Lewis.
Yeah, dude.
Richard Lewis aged. They're like the exact same age. They said that they're like days apart.
And to see Richard Lewis age and Larry not age is crazy.
I'm not going to lie. Richard Lewis makes me want to settle and get into a relationship. Made me want to. He's rest in peace.
Just don't
want
to be Richard Lewis.
Yeah, dude. Those, when he, those last episodes, he's like, maybe I can settle down and have kids. I'm like, oh, God. I don't want that. I mean, I got the kid thing out of the way. But, you know, whew, he looked rough in those, like, it looked like.
He was dying.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was the work that made him look rough, though.
Yes.
Dude, you don't
the
need.
Eyes, man.
You don't need to do that shit. Don't do that.
No.
Don't do that. Just age.
And everybody listening to this, if you're considering plastic surgery to your face, know that the elite wealthy can't get good plastic surgery on their face.
Yep.
Nobody gets good plastic surgery on your face. You look insane.
Here's the thing. And girls will get Botox and you can't tell for the first couple, and that's fine, but it's like a drug addiction. You're going to keep doing it and you're going to look fucked up after a while.
Dude, the lips.
The lips are disgusting. Don't it's so get dumb.
Lip filler.
No guy you likes look that shit.
Stupid.
You look so dumb. There's a girl. In my opinion, one of the hottest girls in the city of Cleveland. She's a bottle girl at Forward. I'm not going to say her name. It's creepy. But she's so hot. Like, ridiculously hot. She got lip filler, and I muted her on Instagram because I couldn't couldn't look at it. Freaked me out. Freaked me the fuck out. Now, recently, I went back and looked. It's starting to wear off. I unmuted her. Back watching her stories again. But, dude, I mean, if that girl's that hot, and she gets lip filler, and guys think it looks gross, trust me, they think you look weird with it.
Yeah. You look insane. You look like a giant fish.
Did you see the picture Kim Kardashian just posted? Her diving into the water, quote unquote. And she's diving into like 3 foot water. It's the most insane thing I've ever seen. So if she doesn't have a broken neck, she did not dive
Fingers
into the
crossed.
Water.
Fingers crossed.
Anyway, but Curb was fantastic. I'm glad you liked the finale too. That was really, really good. Leon, an all-time character. If we're tiering characters, Leon's top tier, and I don't give a fuck what anybody says.
Tapped that ass.
Yeah, I will go to war for that. I will die on that hill. Yeah. Leon's a top tier. Leon's
so good.
Tier one character of comedy history.
And then him just starting to watch Seinfeld at the very end of the show.
Exactly.
So fucking good. He's talking about Kramer. Yeah. Talking about Kramer being all trifling and getting all of it. Who just walks into a man's house like that?
Him talking to Jerry about all the ass he tapped is just so fucking funny, dude. This is called it. Oh, it's a tap over here. Like, dude, so fucking funny. All right. You tell me, which one's more embarrassing? Are they both embarrassing? Are neither embarrassing? This crazy grand reveal for white face masks, where none of the language made any sense, throwing back to a new era or whatever they said, and then it was just like looking forward, but also looking back. It was a very confusing video for white face masks, or the fact that they are. Giving one-day contracts to Hollywood Higgins and Christian Kirksey.
It's all embarrassing.
It's all embarrassing?
It's all embarrassing.
Are you going to go full-blown Adam the Bull on the Kirko and Hollywood Higgins thing?
No.
That was a little over the top.
Yeah. I started watching the video, and then I got distracted. But like,
by his neck?
He is so fat.
Dude, he's got to take care of himself.
Yeah.
That shit's... He's looking...
Concerningly
and
fat.
Then he also... Someone needs to tell him when he does those selfie videos, he should take the angle from his stomach... up above his head, it will help tremendously.
How does he not do that? Is he really not self-conscious at all?
It's insane, dude.
But like, who cares about white face masks? I don't think that they look super great. It's a face mask color.
If
who
you
would
have told me they had white face masks before, I would have 100% believed you. I would never have noticed.
Who cares?
Was it gray?
It was
brown?
Like brown.
Okay. All right.
Like a dark brown.
Didn't even know.
I think. I don't fucking know. Yeah, how do we not know that? We've watched so much.
I'm the worst with details, though. The worst with details. So I would never know that, but I'm
either great at details or horrible at details. It's selective in my brain, and I don't get it. I'm bad at faces. Do you know how much people get offended when I don't recognize them after seeing them? Like, I need to see you in the exact context. Yeah. If I see anybody out of context, even if I've seen them multiple times, I think I have like a form of face blindness.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's just a thing, too. If you run into the girl who you see who's like your coffee shop girl over and over again, and then you run into her at a Guardians game, you'll be like, I fucking know you.
Not even that.
Oh,
dude.
You don't have that?
No. Worse than that. People I've spent some time with, like this, like a friend of a friend's wife, but we had seen each other multiple times, and I introduced myself to her probably on the fifth time of meeting, and she's like, you know me. And I felt terrible.
Yeah. Be more memorable. That's what I would say. Be more memorable. Why do you think I ride fucking donkeys, dude?
I'm so sorry. I've already forgotten your name, but I'm sorry. fucking, yeah, face mask, whatever. But then, like, Kirksey and Higgins, they weren't a part of anything big.
Kirksey was a fine linebacker. Higgins was literally nothing. He was a fan favorite for the roll out the red carpet thing. He had, what, 1,000 yards total or something like that in his career as a Brown?
Why?
I don't.
Guys, and you are both from the darkest era of Cleveland Browns football. Why celebrate anybody from that era?
How did that, like, what I want to know is, how did that happen? Who reached out to who, do you think?
I don't know. It's weird the two of them would do it.
Yeah.
So that makes me think that the Browns would do that.
All right, so what? Right, let's just start picking random guys. Like, anybody who's retiring, does they just come back and get a one-day contract? Now, were they... I never realized how much of a fan favorite Hollywood Higgins was. I know people wanted to see more of him, but I think he was a fan favorite. Kirko, yes, he did a ton of stuff in the community. He hung out with a lot of people that were around here. That one makes a little more sense to me, even though I'm still like, I don't understand why we did this.
Wasn't good enough.
Yeah, he wasn't... Yeah. You could...
We're a part of something big. Like, if he was, you know, I hesitate to even say any of the guys that were on the team that won the playoff game. And that's the biggest thing we've seen in modern Browns history.
Yeah.
I hesitate to even say, like, oh, you know, what was his name? The cornerback, not Emerson. Why the fuck? MJ Stewart. Like, if MJ Stewart was like, and he had a pick in that game, if mm-hmm. he came back and said he wanted to retire Brown, are we all going to embrace him? He was a part of something awesome, actually.
I forgot he was on the team, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
I completely forgot about that.
No, he had that diving pick on Roethlisberger in that game.
That's a great pick.
Yeah, it was great.
I don't know, dude. I'm also kind of torn here, and I feel like I'm just wishy-washing on this. But we're not retiring the numbers, so whatever, I guess. But, like, the press conference thing... Now, if you wanted, so here's the one thing. They could have done this in a different angle. As a guy who is very good at formulating a PR message in my personal life and in work life, you gotta make people buy into what you're trying to sell, right? If you would have brought them back and say, one day contract to retire Cleveland Brown because they are now going to be part of this community initiative effort that we are getting alumni back in the community, and both these guys were great in the community because they both did a lot of stuff in the community. That would make so much more sense to me, and I think it would be more palatable. This is just like, what?
Where do we draw the line? How many more are coming?
What is this, like, the border and stuff? Yeah. How many? There's just hordes of former Browns players making their way back.
Just everybody.
Convoys of them making their way back to Cleveland. They're all military-age males, too. I don't know if you've noticed. All of them. Not a female in the bunch. Who is the... The fucking punter. The fucking jacked-ass punter. We gonna do that for him?
Jacked punter.
The fucking the Scottish Hammer.
Oh, was he jacked? Jamie Gillen?
Yeah, well, maybe he wasn't jacked, but whatever. I mean, he was kind of jacked. Jamie Gillen, we gonna do it for him?
Sure, you want to come back and retire here, Zane Gonzalez? Go ahead.
It's insane. You know who should retire Jamie Gillen's jersey? Flying Monkey. Because it's hanging on the wall because how much he drank there. They should take it. They should retire it and take it down and throw it in the garbage, but they should do
good
it.
Good for him. I do love the Scots.
Scots.
Scottish people.
Oh. I thought the Scots were like a family around here. I didn't know who they were. I'm like, is that who owns Flying Monkey? I know Mike. Is that his name Scott? I know. Michael Scott? Scott. Is that him? Yeah, I don't know, man. I thought that was a very odd thing.
Yeah, it's strange.
You got a Reddit story?
I got two.
Perfect. Let's run through two of them.
All right. At least one is short.
That was a lot of sports in that hour.
Yeah.
That was good. Good Guardies talk. I think it was... Okay, Cavs talk. I just don't know what else we can talk Cavs until we see what happens in this first round.
Yeah. All right. So, I went to a Chinese buffet against my better judgment, ate my food. It predictably opened my bowels right up because the fat content. Couldn't really hold it in and wait for the bill, so I grabbed my stuff because I didn't want it out in the open when I'd be in the bathroom for a while. Apparently, the waitress only saw me load my stuff up and then disappear when she looked back. I got done taking a long shit and came out to them talking to the police. They saw me. I talked to the cops. They got called for a dine and dash and showed up because it's a slow day. Explained the situation to them. They asked why I had taken all my stuff with me. I told them it was because I knew it would be a while and I didn't want to get anything stolen. It was lighthearted. The cops, the waitress, me, all had a good laugh. I paid my bill and left.
That's all right. That's a fun one. We don't usually get ones like this. That's fun.
It's just, and it's a situation I have been in before. I've never had the cops actually called.
But like, yeah, I've gone and taken big dumps while alone at restaurants and I've been like, are they going to be suspicious about this?
So that would have that exact thing would have happened before the donkey race had my mom and stepdad not been at the Mexican restaurant.
Really?
Shout out to El Palenque, right next, one of the best in Cleveland. It's right in front of Captain Stadium. And I had tacos, probably not a good idea right before I was about to ride a donkey. And
it's fitting. It's the culture.
It just ran right through me and I had to go. I tore the club up for a good 15 minutes. I was like, I wonder if my mom and stepdad left. Came out, no, they're still there. They're drinking, but... yeah, that could happen to anybody. I feel like that's a good lighthearted one. You have a nice little laugh with the police. There's a viral video going around online right now, speaking of police. Did you see it where they pull up on the hillbillies drinking in the back of their pickup truck? That might be one of the funniest videos.
That fucking huge dude just lays back.
He's just holding on for dear life while the other guy's throwing beer cans at the cops. So funny. And I for a while, I was like, convinced it was 100% fake. But I was looking online. I guess there's like articles that like, reference it and stuff, so I don't know, but either way it's a funny video.
Hell yeah. So this is the next one. I've been with my boyfriend, he's 22 years old, for over 2 years now. I first noticed he didn't have good personal hygiene before we even got together. I noticed he smelled sometimes. He is the loveliest guy and he has the sweetest heart, so I could see past the bad sweat. After a few months of being together, I noticed it was much more. For example, his oral hygiene is awful. He barely brushes his teeth, only when I remind him. He says he does, but the plaque and state of decay in his teeth says otherwise. Also, this one affects me the most, but he doesn't wipe his butt properly / at all after going to the loo. So these are Brits.
Yeah, this reads.
I tried to forget about it the first couple times and put it up to an accident. He used to dirty my sheets when he slept over my house. But then it started to get worse where I'd have to wash my sheets pretty much every week, which was expensive for me as a student. I talked to him about this crying and said how it affects me and how he needs to sort it out ASAP. This was 5 months into our relationship when I said this. We are over 2 years now, and he still does it. I've had this conversation with him so many times I can't count. He says he will change, and he is trying. To be honest, I have seen some improvement from what it used to be like, but it's still happening. FYI, he is a large guy, so I can understand it may be difficult to reach around there, but it's been too long. I reckon if he lost some weight, it would help, but he has been trying to lose weight for the past 8 months, but I'm not really seeing any change. I'm assuming because his diet hasn't changed. I've been trying to support him through this too. I'd really appreciate some help now on how to get some change. Maybe not saying the right thing. It's like he doesn't care about it enough to stop. It's as though he is comfortable being gross. I don't understand. Now, as somebody who's comfortable being gross.
And you are comfortable being gross.
To a certain degree. A, we all know I do brush my teeth. B, I wipe my ass. How do you?
How uncomfortable would you be if you
He's been leaving stains on her sheets.
That's insane.
And she's like, oh, I have to clean it every couple weeks. Once is too many. And him, how do you not have any shame as to where if you leave skid marks on your girlfriend's sheets? Listen.
It's horrifying.
Listen, Dave Heron.
I was just going to say, jump rope
big
with
old
a fucking,
boy. Yes.
Jump rope with a wet wipe.
Dave Heron is a big boy, and he will get himself clean. This motherfucker has no excuse. This is disgusting.
Dude.
And everybody out there that's trying to find somebody who will love you, it's because you suck as a person. This guy's disgusting.
Yeah, and he's got someone who loves him.
He's got somebody. Thanks. He leaves poop stains on her sheets, and she's still there.
Thanks, Brian. I appreciate that. It makes me feel great about myself.
You've had people love you, at least.
That's true. That is fucking horrendous. If someone slept in, I got to be honest, and this is just me being a piece of shit, probably, but...
Yeah, probably.
It grosses me out when girls stay over and there's makeup on my pillows.
Oh.
And I know that's just part of it, whatever, but I know for whatever reason it grosses me out. And, I got to wash them. It is what it is. I get it, girls wear makeup. I'm not going to expect you to go take the makeup off before we play Parcheesi, right? But for some reason, it does gross me out. If someone left skid marks in my bed, I'd light my house on fire and never talk to him again. I would just move. I'd have to start all over. I'd just start fresh in a whole new place.
Dude, it is so hard to gross me out. It is so hard. The one girl who really did it was like sending me pictures of dumps she took.
Oh. There's a girl who I still am friends with to this day. You could probably imagine who it is, who literally just sends me Snapchats of her burping or farting. And I'm like, don't do. Well, now it's funnier because we aren't like talking like that
anymore. I can deal with burps and farts.
You know what? When you're trying, when I'm like, and you're in the initial phase, though, like the very beginning phase, you're like, the going on, no. I guess, quote unquote, courtship. I'm like, dude, don't do that.
This is your thin, healthy man privilege talking. For a dude. Man like myself, you know, I'm not morbidly obese, but I've had stomach problems in the past, and Lord knows I burp and it stinks. If a woman starts doing that in front of me, I feel more comfortable and the pressure's taken off.
Well,
of me.
Yeah, because she just opened up a whole can of worms she had no idea existed.
That's right.
This is the first shot in what is now a nuclear war.
No, yeah, the first one who started the battle, and then I continued it and
they didn't run away
is the one that I fucking married.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, dude, that's a really gross. There was a dude when I lived in California who was friends of our friend group. Wasn't necessarily good friends of mine, but he was a friend of the friend group. And he was, I don't know what nationality, but his name was Fed. That was his name, F-E-D. And there used to be a thing called a stinky Fed. Because when Fed would come over your house and he would take a shit, Fed would wipe his ass and not flush the toilet paper. He put it in the garbage can. So it was like a well-known thing, but nobody would say anything to him because he was a little foreign. And I think everybody was afraid to like insult him. And I didn't know him well enough, and he never came to my house, so he never stinky fed me. But I went in the bathroom after I got stinky fed, and it was like, I'd have to go back, hey, man, stinky fed did his thing in there. You got to go dump your it's fucking gross.
It's like, disgusting. I have a buddy of mine. It's got a great story about being at a birthday party as a kid where he just had a brain fart and like wiped his ass, and for whatever reason, his brain didn't have him do what he always did. It just like told him, you need to throw it away. And he threw it away in the garbage can, and then he goes out of the bathroom, realized what he did, and then just like Irish goodbye to the party. And he was like, you're 7, 8 years old.
He just never talked to those people again.
He just left.
Mom, we need to transfer schools. Oh, dude. There was a girl, we're just selling poop stories now, but there was a girl in my elementary school who shit herself in the middle of choir class. Oof. And didn't leave our school district. And she never lived it down.
Ooh, no, you're never going to live that down.
If that happened to my son, I'd be like, son, I'm sorry. And don't worry. I'm enrolling you in a completely different school. And if I need to change your name, I will. Don't worry.
No, you can't be ever taken seriously again. Every single person has a trump card on you.
Yep.
It's like if you open your mouth, everybody can just fucking dunk on you.
Yep. No matter what you say, shut up, shipwreck.
Yeah, exactly.
There's another dude in high school. Same thing. They used to call him Shipwreck because one time he couldn't hold any shit riding in a buddy's car. I want to say he was, you know, they were probably like just turned 16 or something like that. But for the rest of high school through college, I just saw this dude probably 3 years ago randomly. And the first thing popped in, I was like, oh, it's Shipwreck. It's got Shipwreck forever to me.
You know, I outlived the gas man. It only took a year.
That's true. The gas man.
But that was just a rip fart. Poop is much different.
Yeah, poop is a whole different ball game.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know. That is a gross, gross, gross story. But they are English and they're gross people. Take care of yourselves. How about that? You got any other comedy shows coming up, by the way?
I mean, just Westles.
Yeah, we got Westles tonight for the people who are listening right now on Thursday. I know I have some shit coming up. We do have a show like at the end of May at the Winchester. I haven't heard anything about that again.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. I do got to shout out two things. First of all, my mother-in-law had open heart surgery.
That's right.
She is recovering well, so get well soon, Kim.
Hell yeah.
And then also, my like best friend since I was 3 just got diagnosed with leukemia.
I saw that on Facebook. That's fucked.
It was like admitted to the hospital the same week and then had to stay over the weekend as his bachelor party, so that had to be canceled. He is due to get married Memorial Day weekend.
Damn.
So we'll see if they're able to still do that, but he's going to be in the hospital for like a full month. There's probably going to have to move wedding stuff around. So there is a GoFundMe. It is on my Facebook page, or not Facebook page, but my personal account. It's posted publicly. So if you feel like doing something nice, helping good people out, there's a GoFundMe. So just give what you can.
By the way, I tried to share it. You can't share it.
Why?
I don't know.
It is public. Everything says public.
I know, but you couldn't share it. I was going to try to share it.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
All right.
So, but go donate. Yeah. Damn, how aggressive is it? Do they know?
There's really no answers on that yet. They have to do, this is like test his genes and stuff like that okay. to see kind of where things are at and where,
what the treatment's going to be, but it, yeah, it's like a blood and bone marrow cancer. Oh,
that's a bad one, I think. Actually, I don't know. I'm just talking my ass. Yeah. I have no idea.
No, but if, supposedly there have been a lot of advancements, and there are certainly things that can be done. So, yeah, we're just hoping for the best at this point.
Yeah, dude, hoping for the best for him. That's awesome. I just, well. How do, you're just Brian Kenny on Facebook, right?
Yeah.
There's nothing else there.
Brian Kenny, and you'll see my family looking intimidating in my profile picture.
Yeah, not the guy from ESPN.
No, unfortunately. We have the exact same fucking name, and Googling me is difficult.
It is very difficult.
You just got tag comedian on it, and I'm right there.
Yeah, go donate something if you can. Do we got anything else? To talk about?
No, not really.
All right.
Go grocery shop and listen to the Guardians.
All right.
Hopefully avoid this tornado.
Go Guardies.